You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, God Almighty. Lord, we just praise you today. You are Yeshua HaMashiach. You are God Most High. You are our Mighty One. You are the Prince of Peace. You're coming again. You're the resurrection. You're the life. You are the bread of life. You are everything to us. You are peace. You are shalom. You are healing. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are deliverance. You are Jehovah Mapalti. You are our source. You are our spring. You are the garden of our hearts. Everything is found in you. And you love us in spite of us. You love us. You demonstrated your love. You loved us before we could ever love. That's who you are. You are love himself. Love incarnate. And we're so grateful today to be able to sing to you, to worship you. That's why we're here, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you, oh God, and to offer ourselves to you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. Can you sing out? I love you, Jesus. I just love you, Lord. I just love you, Jesus. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever and ever.
I love Jesus.
Let's sing it out. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever.
Is the kingdom,
yes,
yours.
Let's sing it out,
the power,
everyone.
Yours is the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever, amen. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever, amen.
Yeah. and majesty, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Father, we say, let your spirit rise. Let your spirit rise. Let's raise our voice. Let the spirit of God rise. Let the spirit of God rise. Rise, Holy One. Rise, Holy One. And overtake those in captivity. Overtake those who are hurt and broken and downtrodden. Those who have been abused and damaged. Those who violence has touched their hearts and their lives. Where there's been hatred, we release that. We release love and hope and mercy and glory, God. That's who you are. We release you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, that we could truly love one another the way you love us, God. And that we would walk in the robes of righteousness. Because righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne, God. And we say that we bow our knee to your throne. Psalm 89:14 tells us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Wow. Father, we just give you praise. We give you praise. We give you adoration. And we give you thanksgiving. We're thankful, God. We're thankful people, Lord. Here in this state and all over the world, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your righteousness to reign. Thank you for your justice to reign. Your way. Your way, because you're the King of glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All who are heavy laden and burdened, you say, take my yoke of love upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, Lord, let it be that you capture the enraged. You capture the broken and hurting. You capture the offended. You capture those who felt outcast. You capture those who are trying to see what they're to do that is right. You capture the hearts of all, for them to see, for all of us to see that you're the solution. There is no solution without you, God. There is no solution. You are the solution, God. And your gospel is powerful. Your gospel is powerful. You took it upon yourself at the cross. You died a terrible death for us. All of this mayhem was crucified to you and buried with you. And you raised from the dead to bring an end. You raised from the dead to bring an end to tyranny and violence and destruction. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are born for such a time as this. It is no accident. We cannot escape. We say, Lord, I'm all in. When we say I'm all in, it's all in. So, Lord, we're in for the long haul. And our eyes are being opened and sharpened. Our ears are being unplugged and they're being filled with your truth. He who has an ear, let him hear what my spirit, the spirit, is saying to the churches. We're at that time. We're at that time, Lord. In Revelation 2 and 3, we're there. And we embrace your time. We embrace your season upon us. And we say, oh boy, God, here we go. Every tribe, every tongue, every soul, every life matters. Thank you, Lord. You are colorblind. There is no color in heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Saints, if there was ever a time to be led by the Spirit, this is the time. This is the time, this is the season to be led by Yeshua HaMashiach. I was just remembering over here when we were worshiping a time in China, when we were walking to an underground gathering in a building, but it's considered the underground church. And people risked their lives to come. They risked imprisonment. And as we were following guides to find this group, remember, just keeping our distance, It wasn't social distance. It was life distance for your life and safety. It's kind of funny. A little bit different than now, but not. And so when we got there and the people were so eager, and we went in this elevator very quietly, and we went up to this place and walked down the hall looking around. Had we been followed? What was going on? Because the gospel of the kingdom goes forward. And as we're meeting these beautiful people and as we're praying for these lovely ones, I just remember, that our translator was just standing right here, and I had my arm around her. She was a little short for me, and so she was right here in my armpit. And she was just weeping. She understood what Papa Bill was singing and what he was saying. And I had said a few things, I'm sure, somewhere in there. But she understood because she was our translator. And she was just undone. She was crying because she was so hurt and wounded in her heart that she had not seen the places that the Lord was revealing through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So she began to weep and weep right here as my arm was around her. She couldn't speak. She couldn't do anything. So she was useless for her job, in a sense. It's like, okay, here we are. Bunch of Chinese. They don't know what we're saying, but they did, because the power of the gospel is so big. I am telling you, the beauty and the glory of God is so, so huge and magnificent that Bill just kept on going and preaching and singing. And these beautiful people were sitting on benches in front of us, and they had their eyes closed, and every one of them just started moving and gyrating. As fear was dispelled, as hope was renewed, as hearts were restored, because Jesus is the solution, because Jesus is the answer. And as they were gyrating back and forth, the power kept increasing, and they, one by one, they fell off, they fell over, and they fell off the rows right there. Boom, 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 on the floor. There's just a Chinese mess on the floor. It was glory, glorious pile of hearts that had been broken and hurting and lost. And they just wanted him. They wanted the truth. And we were there. And I thought of that over here, and I thought, wow, God, we have opportunities. Don't get caught up in rhetoric. Don't get caught up in what you think might be the solution. Be wise in what you say, where you go, what you do, what you post on Facebook. There are people watching, and there are hearts burning for something, and they're burning for hope in Jesus because they don't even know it. These Chinese, they didn't know exactly what was going to come. Some of them got saved. Many of them got healed and delivered. Some of them already knew Jesus. But when they left, they'd been touched by the burning one. They'd been touched by the Most High God. And God just turned their lives upside down without an interpreter. So beautiful. So beautiful. That's who we are, beloved. That's who we carry. We carry this most amazing gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Don't shrink back from that. Wherever you are, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you say, God is saying, speak of me, release me.
That's right.
Wherever you are, think of me. Don't be intimidated, because the enemy's an intimidator, but Jesus is a lover. And watch what he does. I believe as we continue to invade darkness, wherever that is, and there's lots of places right now, that as we are carrying the Lion of Judah and we're roaring inside, who can I touch? Who can I make a difference to in my world, in my life, with what I say, with what I do? Who's going to be the recipient of who I carry? When we had an outpouring last week as we celebrated Pentecost here, it was wild and crazy in here. It's like, wow, we're online. Wonder what this looks like. I don't know. I don't care. But I'm telling you, if you were here, was an unprecedented, crazy move of God. And I asked a few, and just a few, and there's others. I didn't text everybody in the, you know, in Frontline or anything like that. But it was really interesting. These are the comments that I got. And if I didn't text you, it was just because you weren't on a text list or something at that moment. Okay? But if you have something, let me know. But these are some of the comments that people made. This is what I experienced. This is who I saw. This is how I felt. Oh my gosh, this is what God did. So the Lord wrecked us last week as he showed up. But that's to carry the gospel of the kingdom even further. That's for us to be able to say, Jesus, now what? See yourself as stepping out of the upper room. And now we're in the trenches again and again and again for a beautiful Pentecostal outpouring. And if you didn't see something specific, that's okay. If you felt peace, if you felt power, you felt he was here. He's here today. And our focus needs to be on him, beloved. If there's somebody here who's hearing this and they had a specific word or picture that they saw, if they want to come up really quickly, don't hesitate, and you can share it. I'm not going to call anybody from this. I might read a couple very quickly just to give testimony. Is there anybody that saw something that's like, this is crazy? Just quickly get out of your seat and come up and you can share it. Would you do that, please?
I saw a whirlwind of fire. It was like a tornado of fire. I actually saw two of them. And the one was the fire of the Lord. And the Lord's, you know, there's that scripture that says that we're receiving an unshakable kingdom. And God ends that passage by saying, I am an all-consuming fire. And so I saw that, but then I saw this other whirlwind also, and the Lord spoke to me very strongly and said, that's the whirlwind of the world, and that's distraction, and those are all of the things that capture our attention and our finances and our affection, and the Lord said, you've actually been distracted by this. You've actually been pulled over by this whirlwind over here. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm a Christian though, and I'm, you know, I'm burning for you and I'm on fire for you. And he actually said, in the most loving way, he said, he reminded me of the scripture about Laodicea and how Laodicea, the Laodiceans were wealthy Christians in the early church who had all of their needs met and just thought they were good. And in Revelation, the Lord says, you think that you're good because you have all of these things, but you're actually poor and naked and wretched. But come and buy from me wine and oil. What you really need is what I have, and I want to give that to you. So it was just a beautiful picture. And so the Lord invited me to enter his whirlwind of fire and to receive his wine and his oil. And then after that, there was just an amazing outpouring of his joy and of his oil and his wine that we got to partake in.
Praise God. I have time for one or two very quickly. If you saw something specific, would you just run up here and share it if you'd like to? Just briefly.
Much as what God was telling me while I was up there playing last Sunday, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, this is what it looks like the bride is getting ready, what it looks like to get when the bride's getting ready.
So. That's very cool. Oh, that's really great. There was one who actually said, that is so good. Praise God. Wow. This person saw an image of a raft in the water being undone. The ropes became untied and the logs separated and were floating in the current. And this person realized that that was the next step to going down the river with him, being totally immersed and giving up control in exchange for him. This person had had pictures of floating down rivers before, and it was wonderful on the raft. And this was a little bit different. The
the logs were being split apart. So that's kind of cool. And then one more, this person said that after there was prayer, I saw a white target and an arrow being shot out towards the target. The next picture I saw was the tip of the arrow moving forward. On the tip of the arrow was my face. My body was the rest of the arrow. The sense I got was being sent out. I was crying out to share the gospel to those he puts in front of me. Then I felt God's fire and joy. Amen? And there are many others, but just for time's sake, let that encourage you that when we're in the presence of the Lord in his outpouring, that he's dealing with us, he's speaking to us, he's revealing himself, and he's saying, just come and stay close and receive who I am and what I'm doing here, because it's for you, but it also involves a corporate mandate, a corporate call beyond that. There's an article that you have at your seat right now, and those of you who are watching, you're welcome to get this. We just need to hear from you. It's called Explosive Warfare. We've been writing a series of articles each week during this COVID adventure, and now with the protesting and the ensuing riots and things like that, it's a very unsettling time. But the Lord says he's not unsettled. But we really have to understand and know our enemy. But more than that, we have to know what Yeshua HaMashiach says and how to navigate through that. So just encouraging you to read that and to share that with other people so that we can realize that our God is so, so awesome. One verse to read to you is in Ephesians 6:10. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved the most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you, the Passion Translation. And there are many. So we pray that this will be a blessing and a help for you. You know, as we were singing this morning and just loving Jesus together so much, the Lord was positioning our hearts to be able to share once again in communion. We are in the middle of this season that's not going to end. It's a communion revival, meaning the Lord's reviving our hearts to remember that we are up close and personal with him, and that every decision that we make is made out of love, which is God, or fear is attached. And we need to understand and know him. We need to really understand what true love looks like. Really, the Lord is calling us into a place where people who have gone before us have understood, rightfully so, what it would take to sacrifice themselves, to live their life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which was their reasonable act of worship. And they really believed it, and some have suffered, many have suffered. Just even to be able to stand here and hold a mic in freedom in our country, there's been so much blood that was shed many years ago for this right and this privilege. And we need to stop, and not just stop and think, but stop and embrace and be thankful for the lives that have gone before us and the lives now who are laying down everything to be able to know King Jesus and release him, even if it costs them something, especially if it costs them something, because the Lord never asked us to do something that we can easily do. He invites us into places where we have to depend on him, and he's looking for us to be able to be wise enough and clear enough in our eyesight to see that, to embrace that, and hopefully have people around us who will be able to see and embrace the same, so that we can be prepared, as we just heard, as Zach said, that we are a bride being made ready for the Lord Jesus, and his plan and his way is different than what we would ever choose for ourselves typically. And that's kind of like, wow, what a wake-up call. So the Lord is speaking to each one of us individually, and he's saying, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose, I've got a process, I've got a direction. Stay in the path that I'm calling you and listen to my voice. And if my voice conflicts with your voice, I trumpet. Amen? Or the voice of others. Amen. So be encouraged today, and Jamie's going to lead us in communion. And we'll see where the Lord takes it after that.
Well, just since last Sunday, the Lord just been drawn to the book of Acts. and just what the Lord's been releasing in this hour. And I love what P&P said, Pastor Mary Pat said, it's true. He's drawing us into a place of complete dependency on him. And so one of the things that's been highlighted to me in the book of Acts, in the Pentecost, this outpouring of fire, this outpouring and release of power, being a bold witness for the Lord, is these disciples that were in that upper room. What had they gone through the 3 years prior to that? Their entire world, their lives were turned upside down. And, you know, they thought Jesus was coming as this revolutionary warrior to overturn this Roman Empire that was so oppressive and all that was going on in that time. But he came and he roared as the lion, but he lived his life as the lamb and he was crucified as the lamb. And so they saw miracles. They were with him. They spent that time, you know, before he was crucified there, taking the bread, drinking with him. And in remembrance, what he says, to do this in remembrance of me. But I'm looking on into Acts after that takes place, and they wait in that upper room. Some of the things that the Lord's just showing me as I was preparing for communion, and what I believe the Lord wants us to see, that we're no different than these disciples. Everything that they'd gone through, the whirlwind of chaos, the whirlwind of uncertainty, when they saw their Jesus persecuted, but little did they know this would soon be them. But he was preparing them. He was preparing them. And even in John 15, where he's with them and it's just them, and he's saying to them, I am the vine and you are the branches. My Father prunes things and he cuts things off. And even as I hear the lawnmower outside just mowing here in our neighborhood, I'm thinking, like, he's like the shearers. He's wanting to come in as the holy, righteous one and just judge, to take anything on the inside of us and burn it up and cut it off, because he is such a good father. He is such a good father, and he won't let us go. He won't let us walk away too far from us. He says, I need you to be a part of my vine because you are my branch. And so I'm in Acts 3. I'm just going to paraphrase some of this, but what takes place after this Pentecost and this outpouring, and even something to remember too, is they're all remembering what happened to Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. He had done that, and then he ended up in a field split open. And they're thinking about this, and they're adding Matthew on with the other disciples. And the first thing that takes place after they go out and many come into the kingdom, there's this healing that takes place. And this lame beggar that's outside, it's the gate of beautiful, and people always carrying him out so that he can beg for alms. And so one day, Peter and John came on the scene. One day, the Spirit of God who dwelt on the inside of them came on the scene. And so where he was there begging, he comes across, and he'd been lame since, you know, in the womb, this man. And they look at him and they ask for his attention. He looks up, waiting for a response. Maybe they'll give me something. And he's waiting for silver. He's waiting for gold. But he looks up and Peter looks down. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I will give to you. Stand up and get up. And so the man leaps off the ground. He goes around and everyone's amazed at this. Who is this Peter and John? They don't know it's Jesus yet. They just know that these men are filled with power. They're filled with something amazing. And there's this miraculous thing that just took place before their eyes. And so Peter stands before them and he says, no, you remember, you were the ones that crucified Jesus. This is Jesus that has done this, the very one that you nailed to the cross. And he says to them, repent and return so that your sins will be wiped away and the times of refreshing will come. And then they go into this trial where they're before some high priests, but yet filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're questioning them. But they're filled. But the one thing that stood out to me at the end was where, and we've heard this before, is where they recognized they were uneducated and untrained, but they knew they'd been with Jesus. They knew they'd been with Jesus. And remember, this is Peter and John, who 3 years before this thought this Jesus warrior guy was going to come and overturn everything. He became the lamb slain, and he went to the cross, and he rose from the dead. And this is everything they had gone through, and watching the persecution that they were about to go through. And then they went to the upper room, and then they were filled with power, and then they went out talking in every sort of tongue, because a good father wanted the people that were there to hear about the gospel, to set them free, to see that lame beggar rise up and be free. And so the scripture before we pray over communion that I spoke about John 15, but Peter was singing it out this morning and praying out. And I just want to read this from Matthew 11, 28 verse 28 through 30 in the Passion Translation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. And just thinking about those disciples where the Lord's calling us to do the same. Take my yoke upon me, learn from me, learn of my ways, and you will do greater works than Jesus. Step into this new place. Step into this place of refreshing, but you need to be a part of the branch, part of the vine. Let me prune things. Let me cut anything off that's not from me, because my blood has purchased you and bought you with a great price, with a great price. And so I just want to encourage us this morning to offer ourselves before the Lord with everything that the Lord's been releasing and all that's going on in the world. The Lord is just saying, I want the world to know that you've been with me. I want them to know that you've seen me and that you are as PMP in the last email she wrote, a blood-bought Christian, a blood-bought believer. Everyone say that with me. A blood-bought believer. Say, I am a blood-bought believer.
I am a blood-bought
And that's who we are. Believer. That's who we are. So just raise your hands to heaven as we just continue to consecrate ourselves in worship this morning in communion. Father, we thank you for your words of life. We thank you for what you're speaking to our hearts individually and corporately, Lord. Father, you're grafting us in and you're hedging us in with a wall of fire, and you're saying to us, I won't let you go. I want you to come near to me, draw into me, drink of me, thirst for me and hunger after me, for I will fill you and you'll be satisfied. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. So Lord, we just bless you this morning, and we thank you that as we take these communion elements, Lord, when you were at the Last Supper with your disciples and you said, drink and eat and do this in remembrance of me, you were calling them into a greater union with you, a greater union, something they had not seen before, something that they had not understood before. But what will be coming soon, 3 days later, they would see this very Savior, this very teacher of theirs, raising from the dead, their best friend, their lover of their souls. But you're saying to us, God, I invite you into the same place of suffering, in the same place of loneliness, the same place of yieldedness, where the joy is set before you, the same way that it was set before you, Jesus. So Lord, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And we say, have your way in us, Lord. We remember your words. We remember your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. We bless and consecrate these elements, Father. And as we take them, Lord, you take us deeper into a place of continual encounter with your love and with the blood, because we are blood-bought believers, Lord, filled with your power and filled with your spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
As several have said, we've been in the book of Acts. Prior to that, we were talking about how to be an effective warrior during this season of challenge. And now we've been in the book of Acts with Pentecost last Sunday and teachings on that. And then on Tuesday night, we did talk about that lame man at the gate beautiful, and how he took care of, or how he was taken care of by Jesus' disciples. The Spirit of Jesus was still on the earth, still healing, still delivering, now through his disciples. And guess what? We're the next generation of that. We are commissioned the same way. We're to be committed to his covenant with us to go to the nations. I would just like to say to those that are tuning in from the nations today, please put your comments in on Facebook and so on. Tell us why you want us to come to your nation. We need to be after that call. Go ahead, put that in the comments. Let the people here know, the sent ones here know, that you are waiting. And so we want to see some of those comments come in today. Today we're in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. They had a problem with this new message. The religious, the establishment, had a problem with this new message and this new commissioning that they were empowered to carry out, the disciples. They taught the resurrection. Oh, that we would get into trouble for teaching the resurrection of Jesus, for going to the nations and speaking out the resurrection of Jesus, for going to the streets and speaking out that Jesus has been resurrected and he's been resurrected in us. That's what they were saying. They were saying, oh, you see this lame man that was just healed at the gate beautiful? That was Jesus. His resurrection continues, wave after wave after wave of his resurrection. And we are going to preach this in the streets. And they laid hands on them because of it. They got into trouble. Are you ready to get into trouble for the name of Jesus? Because I'm telling you, it's coming. And it's already here. It is already here. There are people in trouble for preaching the resurrection overseas. People we know, we care about, we've ministered to. There is going to be trouble on the earth. Are you ready? These disciples were because of Pentecost, because they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They flowed out into the streets and they couldn't help but give out the powerful gospel. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes. Do you read it that way? I love to read it that way. Rulers, elders, and scribes, the wise ones. Just check out Facebook. You'll see the wise ones speaking forth. As well as Annas the high priest. The high priest. Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and many were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. These are intimidating people. But the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't intimidated. They had real life. They had resurrection life. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? You can just hear it, right? People that don't have power speak in a certain voice when they want to act like they have power. But what power, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Trying to intimidate these spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit disciples. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, see, told you, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Yes, he just spoke in a loud voice. He didn't have to try to put on power. He was carrying it. If we this day are judged for the good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. He was drawing a line. He was making a distinction between those that were for God and those that were actually against God. Soon enough in the book of Acts, we will run into someone called Saul. And Jesus appeared to him personally and said, you are kicking against me. Now, Saul didn't think that. He thought he was doing the will of God. These people were in position and they thought they were doing the will of God. This is their wake-up call. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. You threw out the chief cornerstone. You threw out our Messiah. You threw out the resurrected Jesus. What more proof do you need if a man comes back from the dead? Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation in no one else. Don't even seek it out by your old system, your old wineskin. It's not going to work in this new day. Not for them, not for us. The old wineskins aren't going to work in this new day. Wineskins of just doing church. The wineskins of just doing the religious acts over and over again aren't going to work in this day. It didn't work in their day. They needed a new day, and it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that it came in. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. You know, Jamie's trying to preach my message earlier. What can you do with people like that? You know, we can be the most untrained, the most unlearned. Somebody, you know, I know there are people that try to catch pastors, you know. They say, what's that scripture? What's that scripture? I can't think of that scripture right now. What is it? Usually I just stay silent, even if I know it. Because I'm not a know-it-all in, you know, scripture verse references. I want to know the one that knows it all. I want to know him deeply. I want to know the scriptures, but I'm not going to be a know-it-all. I want to know him. I want to follow him. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit ongoing by him. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome if everyone online and the people right here, when you go out now after being in your homes, in your prayer closets, in the Word of God, with a fresh new anointing, a fresh new baptism in your hearts and lives of the Holy Spirit, if now you are circulating through society, the same places you used to go in some cases, but they say, I think that person's been with Jesus. I think that person's been with Jesus. I think they've been with Jesus. And they're saying it about us. What if when we go back to the nations, are you turning in your comments online, nations? Let us know you want us to come. Tell the people here, I want you to come. When we go back to the nations,
that they say they've been more with Jesus than the last time they were here. They're different. They believe more in the resurrected Jesus. They believe more in the healing of Jesus. They believe more in the salvation that can come in only Jesus alone. You know, if we get caught up in the issues of the day, I think that's a mistake. We own the answer to all the issues. Bring up an issue, we have an answer. It's Jesus. We worshiped him this morning. Why do we worship him? Why do we raise his name high? Because the answers for all these things are in Jesus. When we go to another nation and they're overcome by a false religion, we don't come in and try to figure out all the ins and outs of that false religion. We preach Jesus. We preach the answer. We preach the turnaround, the breakthrough, the resurrection. There's no resurrection in these false religions. There's no resurrection in a witch doctor. There's only resurrection power in the mighty Jesus. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They had a council. They got together. They were going to lay down the law, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, what a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." This is the day when we go out to the streets or when we go out to the nations, they're not going to be able to deny the miracles that are going to happen in this season. Maybe before they said, "Oh, well, maybe, just maybe they were on their way to getting healed. Oh, maybe we need to check with a doctor and get the doctor's report on that one. Maybe it's not a real miracle." But now they're not even going to check. It's going to be so obvious, even to the enemies of the gospel, that Jesus is doing a new thing in a new day. "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them." We don't want miracles, signs, and wonders breaking out around here. Let's threaten them. You know, that's going to be the reaction of some people on the streets and in the nations. They're not going to want this resurrected Jesus and all that he brings with him. And we're his carriers of his glory. They're not going to want that. We're going to have to fight through some things. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to be a problem? Are you ready to cause a problem? You going to hide out for it? No, you're not. We're not going to let you. We're going to iron sharpens iron and a bunch of sparks are going to fly. We're going to keep you sharp. Get your swords ready. Sharpen you up to carve up the enemy's territory. Come on, what do you think we did the series on the warrior thing for? You're supposed to be sharpening your swords, get your shields ready, let's go. So they called them and commanded them. The religious will try to command. The world will try to command us. Stop, 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 quit, give up. It's not wanted. You're going to hurt somebody. They commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Some are trying to stop worship of all things in church services. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." We've just made this distinction. Have you resurrected from the dead? Why should I listen to you? If you haven't resurrected from the dead, I don't listen to you. I listen to the Lord. And if he says listen to you, I will. But if he says not to, I won't. I'm drawing a line in the sand for all of us in Frontline, for all our partners around the world. We are not going to listen to the voices in this age unless the Lord says, listen to this one for this season just to get this particular thing done. We are going to listen more to the Spirit of God than we ever have. And we're going to be accurate in what we hear. No more of this, I've got a piece about it when he didn't give you that piece. No more, I've been praying about it. Have you heard anything? Because you're supposed to hear clearly in this season. Signs, wonders, miracles are going to break out, but also all the prophetic that we need to have people see that it's from God. That's supposed to pour out by his Spirit. That's what Pentecost was all about. This is a new day of Pentecost. This Pentecost started a wave of ongoing Pentecost on the earth. You ready to be a problem? Like these guys were. This is the baby church. This is the baby church. This is just the beginning. This is the crib. Some people look back to this, oh, I wish it was the book of Acts. No, you don't. You want better than this. This is the baby stuff. This is the baby steps. This is the crib time. Don't look back to the book of Acts for that. Look back to the book of Acts for what we need to extend from the book of Acts. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. You're going to be seeing more things in this season. I've already declared that over you. If you have been seeing more things in this season, or if it's, I don't know, if you've been seeing more things in this season, raise your hand. I want to see this. Things are coming to you. Some of them you're not asking for. I'm sitting in my living room. Someone needed prayer. I start to pray. I'm caught up in the prayer that the Holy Spirit is giving me rather than just my own. I enjoyed that. Pastor Murray Pat says, well, I think I need to lay hands on this person. And she touched their back. And I see Jesus glide through the window in my living room. And he puts his hand on her hand on this person's back. I'm speaking this out at the time, and I'm thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. I've already prayed. I already was caught up in the Spirit, I thought, but this is a whole new wave. Come on! Jesus gliding through, just, you know, he was so focused on the person. You know, I wanted him to look at me. Nope. He was focused, wanting to release love and healing. And that's what happened. The person had a definite change and continues to have a change till this moment. I just checked on that, by the way. Actually, they just couldn't help but tell me. All the pain was gone at that time and is continuing in a good state, a very good state. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Remember, they made that statement, drew the line in the sand. For we cannot but speak the things which have been seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Some cases, there may be martyrdom. Other cases, we're going to be let go. Bad move on their part. More kicking the enemy in the teeth. More releasing the gospel. More releasing of the resurrected Jesus. They let them go, finding no way of punishment, no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. We want the people to rise up. They're so blessed by the resurrected Christ and what he releases to them that in some cases we will be able to escape very difficult situations when we're preaching the gospel. the people will see the glory of God. The people will see the glory of God. Wow. And rise up and say, we want to hear more. Oh, we're not going to let you take them in. That will happen in some cases. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. They didn't trust anyone under 40. I don't want to go into a message there. No. Wrong crowd. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You know, when we give the testimony of what God's going to do back home or with our companions, they're going to say, that's God. That's the Lord God. I love it. The Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David, they start to go back into history, how God had been faithful, how God had been always moving. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand in your purpose determined before to be done. He anointed who? Herod, Pontius Pilate. What? God is such the master chess player. He can use a pharaoh and move him around on the chessboard and win every time. It can look like Pharaoh is right there, the king, and there's a gambit. It's a chess term. Gambit in the game where everything's reversed, and the king must bow on the other side. Pharaoh must bow. Herod must bow. Pontius Pilate must bow. Though evil, God is able to supersede that. That's how big he is. They just said Herod and Pilate, they were anointed for a particular role. Now that is way above me, way over my head. But all it says to me is, this is the mighty God that we serve, who is not threatened by what a Herod does or a Pilate does or a Pharaoh does or a Nebuchadnezzar, not threatened at all. He is in ultimate charge. And the same it is for today. Coronavirus is not in charge. What's happening in our society, splitting apart, that's not going to be in charge. The kingdom is going to be in charge. Do you want to see what it's like with a world without racism? A world without hatred? Wait for the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. You're going to be there. 1,000 years of what it's like to have the true king reign on the earth. Then you'll know how these things get solved in him. It's the same now as it will be then. They're solved in Jesus. Not some man's way, not some razzle-dazzle, we'll do this for this and that for that. It's only solved when people are redeemed by the mighty Jesus. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, they may speak your word. They're praying for boldness. I pray that out on you today. I pray that on myself. Boldness. Boldness. Bold like lions and lionesses like never before. You think you've been on the front line? No, it's still up there. We need to keep going toward the front line. Toward the front line. It's still in front of us yet. and we need the boldness given by him. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Excuse me. Some of these folks were in the upper room. Didn't they have a little bit of an outbreak there? You know, tongues of fire on people's heads and a shaking wind that came in. I thought that was a pretty good deal. What, they get another wave? As I was thinking about this sitting there, I thought this is very much like people are swimming around in an ocean. You know, they're around all the truth of God. They're in the truth of God and everything. But then he baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the ocean's like salvation or in lordship maybe. And then he baptizes them in the Holy Spirit. They jump up on a surfboard and they ride that wave. Whoa, whoa, into shore. And they go, wow, that was awesome. But some people hold on to that experience and that experience alone for the rest of their lives. There have been doctrines built on it. There have been, okay, we won't go there, but they just hang on to that one experience. Excuse me. The ocean is still out there. The waves are still out there. The surfboard is in your hand. You can go back out and you can come back in on a new wave. That's what they did, and they kept ministering in that power, and he kept releasing more to them. Are you with me? That's what we have to do. Keep catching the waves. Never just build the monument. Carry the stones with us. Because we built that one. Oh, we got to build another one. We got to build another one. This God doesn't stop. You want to get into some trouble? This is your day. You have all the opportunities you need to get into trouble. It's going to be more fun than Acts. I'm telling you. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This is the third time in one chapter that they bring up that they're talking about the resurrection everywhere they go. Everywhere they go. And healings break out. Deliverances, incredible things. Because they're talking about resurrection and it includes these things. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Nor was there anyone among them that who lacked. For all were possessors of lands and houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas. How many know that in the Bible you get like 4, 5, 6 names sometimes? And I have that. I have all kinds of names. I have names from my teaching career. I have names from, you know, being in ministry, different names. And sometimes names are given to me overseas. Ajiman is my name in Ghana. Ajiman. Ajidaman. It's the way I look at it. That's not what they say. That's what I say. It means nation conqueror. I haven't lived up to that yet, but I'm getting ready. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, in order to have land, you have to be in a community for a while. You have to be in a community like these guys. They started community after the upper room. They were in the upper room, and they were kind of in a fellowship there, a very powerful fellowship. Boom, it happened, and then they stayed in community with one another. Why? That's where the true sharpening starts. When you're with someone and you know them and they know you, then there can be some real sharpening in your life. So they were in community. They shared things together. That's a special experience to do that. Share all the stories together and the testimonies. Share property with one another. There are those of you in here that have given me things and I've given you things and things have been given. Because we're in community. We're in relationship. There was something special about that. There's something special about what's going on here. I want you to stand today. They got into trouble. They got into trouble for a healing. What are you doing? Giving out healing in the name of Jesus. They got in trouble for preaching and 3,000 coming to know the Lord in one day. People were drawn to this and people were reacting to this, both. 5,000 came to know the Lord then, after the 3,000. And that was just men. And it kept going, and it kept going. We need to start a new wave of momentum out of Frontline to hit the shores of foreign places, to hit the shores of downtown Canton, to hit the shores of Skyline Terrace, to hit the shores of people that we know, people we see in the grocery store that are downcast, that are fearful. This is your time. But you need to be healed up. Just like in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, you need to have the things in your body healed up. Emotions. That's a big one. Unforgiveness. That's huge. Offense. Bitterness. Against someone here, someone in your past, someone from another place. Or yourself, or God. That needs to be healed up before we can go out as an army, before we can be sharpened warriors. And part of the sharpening of your weapons has to do with what happens with the resurrected Jesus on the inside. If you need prayer against any of these things, against fear, raise your hand. I'm raising mine. Every person has something. Every person. Every child. Raise your hand to receive from the resurrected Jesus. And it's simple. You receive. Don't let your mind take over at this point. You let your spirit rise up over your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and take charge. You have the mind of Christ right now, not your own mind and spinning thoughts and analyzing. Tell your mind to shut up for a moment. Or, okay, be quiet. And let the thoughts of Jesus flood you. Let the thoughts of Jesus heal you. Let the resurrected Christ come upon you in a new wave of baptism. Oh, we talked about last week and had so many wonderful pictures and visions and dreams and everything come out of that. Now he wants to do it again, another wave. Are you ready? These things, these waves of the resurrected Christ are preparing you for resurrection being given out to others. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, your schoolmates, your enemies, to the nations, to the streets. New wave, a new wave, a new wave of releasing the resurrected Christ. And you may get into trouble. Step into it. Don't step away from it. God will have his way. You'll either be released or maybe further trouble. And it may be only a season and then you'll be released. Whatever, put your whole self into the arms of the resurrected Christ and be used mightily for the kingdom, I declare. Let your issues be healed up on the inside. Let your heart be in tune with the heart of Jesus, aligned with his heart. God has a plan for the rest of your life. He wants you to make supernatural decisions to fit into that, not preference. Prefer him. Prefer the resurrected Christ and his plan for the rest of your life. We say this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. As we just close in worship and just take that, take it to the nations, take it here locally. We just bless all you who are watching wherever you're at, some in Arizona, some in other countries, some along the Daniel Boone National Forest from the posting. We just thank you for joining us. And Father, I just commission each person here to just step into that love, receive that healing. If the Lord's doing something in your heart for healing right now, just as Pastor Bill is praying, just step into that as the worship team just kind of lets a release of Holy Spirit more and more, just his anointing. So, Father, we just receive that today personally, and just I release you today to receive from Holy Spirit and to join us again Tuesday night for Fire and Wind online from 7 to 9 and just continue to receive. And please watch your emails. For more release from our pastors, and just imparting what God is sharing with us in this season to rise up as kingdom believers. So if you haven't been able to read through that, those here, you have that. Those online, just let us know. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, you
you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.